As we head into winter, did you notice the temperature this morning and some of the salt and sand on the roads? Well, senators are asking whether the Washington area can handle the next disaster, whether it's a blizzard, earthquake, or terrorist attack. Two subcommittees of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee held a joint hearing on Wednesday. Emergency management officials from the federal government, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia updated them on changes that should make it easier on everyone to bear those snows ahead. Emily Kopp was at the hearing and joins us now. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
So why did senators feel compelled to call the hearing in the first place?
Well, one, Senator Daniel Akaka, he's chair of the subcommittee that oversees the district. He raised questions about the confusion that followed August's earthquake, where communication from federal agencies, from the Office of Personnel Management, was not immediate, and a lot of federal employees didn't know exactly what they should be doing. And then Senator Mark Pryor, he chairs the subcommittee on natural disasters. He talked about just the complications that are inherent when you have this many groups, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, the local governments, FEMA, Office of Personnel Management, all trying to work together. And sometimes he says that coordination doesn't seem to be working.
We see continued gridlock in communications. We see gridlock in traffic. It just raises questions about, are there leadership gaps here? Is there a bureaucratic fragmentation that needs to be addressed?
And he also raised one other question. You know, he said that everybody is stretched thin. The federal government has a tight budget, but so do the state. And, you know, in the effort to squeeze every penny, they've got to make sure that they're covering all the bases but not duplicating efforts so that they're being as efficient as possible.
What happens when officials are talking about how they are able to coordinate their efforts? Let's say something as simple as snow. Did they talk about these new regulations that you had reported on that have come down from OPM? Did they get into that at all?
Yeah, they did. I mean, the sort of most noticeable thing about that, perhaps, is called shelter in place. And it's when OPM is saying it's a snowstorm and it's already the middle of the workday, OPM might tell people to go ahead and stagger their departures until a certain time, say 1 p.m. But anybody who stays after that has got to stay until they, you know, others can clear the roads, et cetera, and the agency or OPM, what have you, says it's safe to leave again. So that's called shelter in place. Terry Suit was, she's Secretary of Veterans Affairs and Homeland Security of Virginia, and she was saying at the hearing that Virginia has the same policy because of the roads.
On a normal workday, the workforce has a staggered commute. In an emergency, the workforce tends to leave all at once, which creates gridlock. Staying in place is critical for managing through current and preventing subsequent emergencies. And staying in place means that citizens need to plan in advance for the care of loved ones, know the emergency plans for their children's schools and care centers, and share their own plans with care providers and loved ones in advance in case the phone and cell service in the region is interrupted.
She says those are going to be the main messages that people in this D.C. area hear. And she acknowledged that that's a huge cultural shift, especially if you're a parent. Virginia is doing a pilot program with local businesses, and it trained the employees of their businesses to know their children's school policies and to prepare for specifically this type of thing. So what happened during the August earthquake was that those employees tended to stay in place. They stayed at work. They left at 5 p.m. after the roads had cleared, and she says that they had the best commute of their lives. And then at the federal level, this is still being developed, so it's not in time for perhaps this year's snows, but OPM is coming out with a web-based training program starting with emergency managers. It's intended to help them identify the things in their personal lives, like child care or perhaps their parents' care, that they need to know what is happening at all times and make a family plan around it so that when they're called to handle, say, a snow emergency, they're not worrying about their individual or personal problems.
Emily, did they mention capitalregionupdates.gov?
Yeah, Suit mentioned it. She said it was a one-stop shop for weather alerts from all the national capital region governments, and the public can go there to sign up for text or email alerts.
Now, you had mentioned the gridlock that was avoided during the earthquake in August. Were there any panelists who were able to analyze what did go wrong in their reaction to the quake?
Sure. I mean, it was a few people, I think, who managed to avoid some of the chaos. But OPM's Emergency Management Director, Dean Hunter, said there were a couple of things. He said that initially it was chaotic. His agency had difficulty using landlines and mobile phones at first, and then eventually it used the Washington Area Warning Alert System to just get a handle on all the damage and what was happening all over the federal community. And he said, you know, this is the type of event where, unlike a snowstorm, there is no warning.
One of the things that we noted and we have strengthened in our D.C. dismissal guide policy is that need for individual agencies to be able to act when there is an immediate need for the safety and security of their employees. They have that authority, and to not wait for OPM's decision when they need to immediately.
And at this hearing, FEMA said that people should be using Twitter or text messaging to avoid confusion when they can't get through on the cell phone.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. Now, the Government Accountability Office testified along with the emergency management officials. GAO has been looking into how well those groups are working together. What recommendations did GAO make?
Well, GAO's Bill Jenkins, he said the National Capital Region's strategy for dealing with these emergency situations hits all the right spots overall, but it doesn't take advantage of all the area's emergency response resources.
Beginning in our 2004 report on the NCR, we have expressed the need for the NCR to explicitly and fully consider the totality of resources available within the region to achieve preparedness objectives. Moreover, the plan does not identify or explicitly consider in-kind resources that may be available from the Department of Defense, the National Guard Bureau, or the Department of Health and Human Services.
So overall, he says, you know, the strategy is good on paper, but of course, implementation is going to be key, and they haven't really seen that in full effect yet.
All right. Federal News Radio reporter Emily Kopp. Emily, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.